Welcome to the Highway Church Podcast. We pray that this message inspires you today.
I got this thought 2 weeks ago, and I thought, oh Lord, we've spoken over this 100 times. I don't really want to say this again, but I really felt it was a word to my spirit, and hopefully it's a word for us as well. And I've titled it, The Prodigals Are Coming Home. Yeah, the prodigals are coming home. If you feel like you're not where you should be, it's time to come home. If there's people in your world who are not in the place they should be, well, I'm calling them home. It's time for them to come back. So, you know, I'm reading from Luke this morning. And Luke heard from eyewitnesses about this parable that Jesus had spoken. Luke was a very well-educated, highly respected Greek doctor who studied. He wasn't the sort of person that just heard something and believed it. This was a man that heard something, he believed it, but then he went out and he studied it. He went out and found the facts to make sure it was correct. And so when he wrote this, this wasn't just a whim. This was a man that had spent years researching, finding exactly what had happened, and then trying to tell it as close as he could from his perspective, exactly what God had done, what Jesus had done. So he wrote this book sometime between AD 30 and AD 36, which is when Jesus died and was resurrected. But we know it was written sometime before AD 70, because that was when the temple was torn down. So sometime in that 30-year period, he went and he researched. Your mind goes crazy because I think he's a doctor. Can you imagine him going to see Mary and asking Mary from a doctor's perspective exactly how Jesus was born when she was a virgin? That this was the sort of guy he was. He went out and found the facts. He traveled with Mark, and Mark traveled with Peter. So we know he would have heard the stories from Peter and Mark. So these are first-hand stories of Jesus. This is truth. This is not just a third and fourth generation where people have heard stories and it's been passed down. This is facts. You know, when you think of 30 years ago, I'm 62 now. 30 years ago, if something happened 30 years ago, I can remember it happening. So this is from what he recollected, and also from what everyone else spoke about while he was researching this. So he believed this, so we should believe it as well. Do you agree with that? Yeah. So the word for Highway this season is to make room. Internally and intentionally for God in our lives, but also make room for others. Great challenge for us. Great challenge for us to get closer to God, to make room in our lives and our hearts, Lord, for more of God. But also to intentionally reach out to others. That this make room season we're in is to make room for the people around us. It can be very challenging, by the way, because if there's someone who you don't like, I can always guarantee you're going to run into that person. And God's saying, are you going to make room? Are you the one that's going to make room to bring reconciliation? Are you the one who's going to lay down your offense? And are you the one who's going to pick up what I say? And are you going to make room for this person to have an encounter with God? And this season, I believe that God's Spirit wants to overflow us from head to toe. So when we're gushing, we'll gush out on others. God loves a gusher. He's not so keen on the ones that hold it in. And I know we can be timid and scared, but can you imagine yourselves gushing out the love of God on others? Pouring out His Spirit upon others? You know, there's an old song we used to sing, and we sang a lot of old songs this morning. It says, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above from there's no other. Jesus is the way. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Do you believe it?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, if we believed it, I don't know if I would stand on top of the milk crate and start to preach again from the street corners like we used to. But I would be influencing people in my world that Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer. Every person that comes to me who's broken and hurt in some way, Jesus is the answer. not just knowledge. Fair enough, there's a lot of knowledge in this, the Word of God, that which we can use. It's powerful. It's active. But Jesus, 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 Jesus. Keep our focus on the author and finisher of our faith. So I'm going to read out one of the parables that Luke wrote down, the parable of the prodigal son, and you would have heard it many, many times. And so I'm going to start from verse 11. And I just realized I haven't got an NIV. That's NIV, I take it? New King James. Has anyone got a New King James version? I haven't. Okay, and then he said, oh, that's not going to work. Has anyone got a New King James version I can read out of? I love New King James. Thank you. Sorry about this. Oh, it's a small print too. Just what I need. Yeah. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me your portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. And when he had spent it all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he said to him in his fields, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he rose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and when he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I've been serving you, I've never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. I was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Parable of two sons. You know, we call this parable the parable of the prodigal son. But you all do realize that this parable was not aimed at the prodigal son. We all know it was aimed at the eldest son. And we know the eldest son was having a good dig below the ribcage at the Pharisees, giving them a hard time, saying, you're just like this elder son. You know, but the first son, the father was so loving to this first son. And you probably heard the story about what he gave the first son, and you might have heard this before, but I'd like to just go through these three things yet again. You know, I wonder, before the prodigal son ever left, I wonder what made him leave. Do you ever wonder that? This son would have been living in the lap of luxury. His father would have been blessing him with everything he needed. And yet he wanted more. He just wanted more. He wasn't happy with waiting for his inheritance. He wanted it now. Spoiled little brat, really. And so he took all the money and ran and wasted it all. But his father, even though he did that, his father comes to him and runs to his son. And the first thing he did when he got to his son, the first gift he gave to his son was a robe. And this robe wasn't just any robe. This was the best robe. This was the robe that he wore that, when it sat on his shoulders, it had long flowing arms and it went down to the ground. It was a symbol of reinstating his place in the family. To saying, no matter what you have done, I'm just reinstating back to the place of when you left. There's no time frame, nothing between us here right now, Lord. I'm just reinstating you back to your position where you should have always been. This robe was showing, it was covering and erasing his shame and whatever else he'd put on with him while he was away. It was a public declaration that his son's past is forgiven. It was showing all rights and privileges restored instantly at that moment. This long flowing robe that covered him wasn't just covering him. Can you imagine him coming back? I don't know whether he still smelled of pigs or not. Dirty clothes, and yet he puts a long flowing robe over him that covers all, not just some, but all of what was covering him. Those dirty robes, the shame, everything else he carried was covered completely by this robe. And I suppose the first question I have is, if we were these sons coming back to our father, or him coming back to his father, he was covered with this robe, but did he actually see that the restoration? Did he actually see and feel the pain and the shame disappearing? Was he still holding on to any of those things, even though his father came and put a robe on him? So the first thing he did was put a robe. The second thing was a ring. It was probably his father's signet ring, one of his father's signet rings, representing the father's authority, not the son's authority, but the father's authority. It showed his tribal identity. I've moved out of my old life that I wasted, and now I'm moving back into the life that I always should have stayed with my father. I'm coming back into identity. I'm identifying with my father and the lineage of my father. Do we struggle with that sometimes? It showed that the father trusted the son, you know, and if you've ever been at a wedding, and when you've carried a few weddings, you always go through the same old things. The ring has no, you know, beginning and end. And I wonder if when the father was putting that on, saying that my love and compassion for you has no beginning and no end. This is a sign that I'm always going to be there no matter what. You might choose to go away, but this ring shows that I'm never going to stop loving you. See, the father restored his authority. And can I encourage us? You never know what authority you have until you use it. It's easy for us to say, sit here and say, I have all authority. Because Jesus has all authority in heaven and earth. That means, because I'm his son, that means I have delegated authority under the son, under the father. It's okay to say that, but are we walking in that authority? I don't know what's happening in your world lately, but in my world, there is mountains going on. When we're meeting people, I don't know how many people have come up to us in the last month with major, major, major problems. And when this happens, you have to know your authority in Christ, especially when you start to see the demonic being released. And I'm not just talking about demonic that is just, oh yeah, I can feel something. When they're actually manifesting in front of you, you have to know your authority. When you hear about people who are destroying themselves, literally, to have the authority to take hold of those things behind the scenes that are actually destroying them, and to take authority over those and pull them down. It's not just saying I have authority, but to take up our authority. And can I tell you, when you take up your authority and step into what he has for you, it encourages you so, so much to realize that this ring that we have on our fingers has no end. And this signet ring shows that I have an authority in God that I didn't have before. The third one was shoes. And I wonder, when the son came to his father, he tried to say he was not worthy. And I think one of these things, he either didn't have shoes or he took off his shoes, because the father gave him some shoes. See, slaves and hired servants typically went barefoot. Free members of the household wore shoes. Free. Reinstated back into a membership of the household because I'm actually wearing shoes. And shoes are meant to be walked on. They're not just meant to sit still. These shoes are made for walking. He's given us shoes to actually go and do something. Not to sit still, but to go and do something. So you've got a robe on your back, you've got a ring on your finger, and you've got shoes on your feet, and now he's saying to us all, look at these prodigals out there. What are we going to do about it, people? Are we ready to go? He's given us everything we need to go out and to do what he's asked us to do. I love the thought in verse 21, when he gets to meet his father, it says, and the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. In the early manuscripts, half of that sentence was missing. And it's like the son was left dead in the middle with no finishing of the sentence. And it's like the son started saying, I'm not worthy, I'm not worthy. But the father interrupted him and said, you're my son. Broke off what he was saying, how he was coming back and saying, I'm not worthy to receive this. He interrupted him and said, no, you're my son. You're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy. He came back just to be expected to be a slave. And here he is, a son. Pretty spectacular, really. And I love another fact too. The father went out and told his servants to go get the fatted calf and kill the fatted calf. You do know it takes months to fatten the calf. And I wonder what the father was doing sitting outside waiting. He's already prepared a fatted calf for his son to come home. And he's sitting out there waiting in expectation for his son to come home. He's sitting there waiting for us. He's already got a fatted calf prepared in preparation. You know, when we've got problems that we think are too big for God, he's already got a fatted calf prepared. He's already got the answer sitting there. He's already waiting for us to come across those fields towards him. But we either don't come, or we come with an expectation, trying to say that I'm just so full of shame, but he interrupts us and said, no, you're not, you're my son. I've already got a fatted calf for you. The things are prepared for you. Will you step in and be my son? So first, restoration. Second, authority. And third, shoes to walk out a righteous path for our God. See, there was a ripple effect with this. We're talking about jars being filled with oil. We're talking about a jar of oil that's supposed to be poured into another jar of oil. And this is the word for us as a church. We feel is that we're supposed to bring our pots to God, and he's going to fill us up, and then we're going to fill others. And that whole miracle in 2 Kings is going to be evidenced in our lives and the church. And here I see it in the scripture yet again. He comes and he welcomes the prodigal son home. And what happens is a ripple effect. It didn't just affect the son and the father. There's a ripple effect. There's a celebration for the whole household. Everybody gets to take part in this. Just because he reinstates the son and he's celebrating the son, all of a sudden there's a celebration for everybody. Oh, when we can't help but celebrate our God. We can't help but celebrate who he is. It affects everybody else around us. May we not be affected by the world and listen to the world's lies and continually sit and saying, I'm just a slave. I'm a slave to who I am. But no, you're a son and you've been set free. And when you're set free and you know you're set free and the Father is walking beside you, he's given you a robe, a ring and shoes on your feet. He's enabled you. Now you can go out and what's happening in your life affects others, and there's a celebration going on and meeting everyone else around you. they're being affected by what has happened in your life. But there's more to this story than that. It's a second son. Both the sons missed out on the father's love in some way. And I think the second son was probably in a worse position than the first, personally. So he was listening to a couple of big lies. The prodigal son thought he was not good enough. So he just thought he was worthy to be a hired hand or a slave. But the older son, he was entitled and got bitter. He lived under the blessing for so long it had become common and so present that he forgot how good it was. He was trying to earn his father's favor by slaving so hard, but without even knowing that he was living under his father's favor the whole time. He thought he was a servant or a slave, but he was a son. Where was he when he heard? He was out in the fields, which is a great place to be, by the way. Out in the fields working. Fantastic place to be. But why was he doing it? Was it because he felt the love of the father? Or was it because he was trying to earn his stripes? Today, you know, when we sang that song, day and night, night and day, let incense rise out of my life. I want to do that because I love God. Not because I'm just earning a way to heaven. Not because I believe he's looking down on me with a notepad and he's going tick, tick, tick every time I do something. I just want to flow with him out of a love for my father and let it show out to flow out to others. You know, may we be slaves to Christ, slaves to the love of Christ. You know, I personally can look out over the years and I can see God's hand upon my life. And I can see when he's been in my life without even knowing it. And yet sometimes I've been in the field just working and I haven't registered that God is moving in my life. And it is so easy to get caught up, you know, when you're in financial difficulty, when health's an issue, when you're dealing with emotional problems and there's problems in your family and everything else is going on, it's so easy to lose the touch of heaven upon your life. And it's so easy just to fall into that place of saying, oh God, you don't see me, or God, you're not here for me. But when, can we be like the prodigal son that comes back to the father? And when we come back to the father, he meets us in that place and he reinstates everything we've lost. Not be like the second son who sits there and saying, it says, oh, just because you've given it to him doesn't mean I'm missing out. And he starts to think of all the worst. I've got a couple of pictures here. The first picture should be as the second prodigal son, or the second son, thought he looked. Doesn't look very happy, does he? I've been in the field slaving all day and no one sees what I've done. No one knows how hard I've worked. The father doesn't recognize it. He's just leaving me in the field and I've been working. I'm covered in soil and dirt. Woe is me. Woe is me. But then there's a second picture here. And it's a picture of how the father sees the son. Can you imagine that this morning? God's just looking at you. Looking into your eyes, he's pleased. He's happy. That son that was working in the field should have been so pleased, recognizing how blessed he was and the position he was. And the connection between the son and the father. Emotions flowing between the son and the father. Both seeing each other, both intently looking at each other's eyes. Both knowing each other's thoughts. No shame. Open. Completely open towards each other. Wouldn't you like that in your life? Wouldn't you love it to know like that? When I wake up in the morning, I've got my Heavenly Father is just looking into my eyes and smiling at me. We all want that. We do. All of us do. All of us need it. I wonder if he was just a rule follower. We know he judged. We know he resented his father. We know he didn't feel good enough. Jesus, this is a happy sermon, isn't it? And let me tell you, I toiled over this because it's great to stand up here and rah, rah, rah and tell you we're overcomers. God has set us free. But this is the practicalities of life, everybody. We are overcomers. Christ has set us free. There is more than enough for us. God's love is never going to run out. All those things, they're just brilliant and awesome. But the practicalities of us choosing to step into our God, making a conscious choice is so, so important. I wonder what the son's jar was full of. So full of stuff that wasn't meant to be in there, that God was trying to pour out his love, but it was full of other stuff and he couldn't get his love in there. Maybe for us this morning, maybe we need to have a bit of a think about what we're doing in our lives. So, hey, God, I'm standing at the front, I'm saying, God, I need you, I need you, I need you. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, maybe I have to lay some stuff down. Maybe I have to lay some stuff down. You know, the prodigal son returned. I wonder if the second son actually got to the place of intimacy yet again with his father. You know, we get to walk in freedom as God's sons and daughters, in sonship and freedom and authority that are ours in Christ. See, in verse 31, the father says, and he said to him, his son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. And he's saying to us this morning, sons and daughters, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive, was lost and is found. But, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. The story finishes there. Jesus finishes his parable. Never says what happened to the oldest son. He would have done that on purpose, because it was a challenge to the Pharisees of the day, to the religious leaders. To say, look at these disciples that are following me. They were lost. They were the ones who were despised, and yet they're following me as my disciples. And here are you, my sons, who've known me for so, so long, but you've forgotten me. And he leaves it dead there as a challenge to the Pharisees. Well, this morning, if I was going to close the Bible, the book this morning, just stop right here and now and just walk down, what would be the challenge for us today? What would be the challenge? God, am I going to open up my heart to love you that little bit more? And I'm going to find ways to express my worship towards you, because all our life should be worship towards him. Am I going to take time to actually, instead of going out and working in the fields all day, to actually stop and spend time in your presence? Just as we did this morning. I'd like to sing one of those small worship songs as I finish up this morning, if the team want to come up. I don't know where you're all at, but I do know in this season it's time for the prodigals to come home. It's time to take back what the enemy's stolen, and it's time to be restored. Back to your fullness in God. So today, is anybody here that wants to step back into that place, to be like the prodigal? Come back to the Father. He's not going to let you down. He's not going to refuse you. He's not going to judge you. He's not going to do any of those things. He's just going to allow you to come to him.
We hoped you love that message. If you want any more information about us, head to highway.com.au.